When Laura McManus showed up at her first Cincinnati Bengals cheerleading audition, she was 20 years older than most of her competition. A single mother of two who had just left a bad marriage, one that over the years took a big toll on her confidence, she didn't make the squad for the first time, but she never gave up. Instead, it made her want it even more. After multiple auditions and a year of hard training, she finally made the squad. She tells the story in the book, It's Not About the Pom-Poms, how a 40-year-old mom became the NFL's oldest cheerleader. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Laura McManus to the program. Laura, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
What was it about this initially that was a lure for you?
You know what? You explained it very well. When I got out of the marriage, I was so broken and depressed, and my confidence was so low. I really had to reach deep down inside and say, what is going to turn myself around and make me happy? And for me, it was dancing. I danced when I was little, and I really enjoyed it. And I had gotten away from it for like 20 years. So when I decided that dancing is what I want to do, I went to a Bengals game, and I saw the cheerleaders on the sideline dancing, and they had so much confidence. They were in front of 60,000 people wearing little outfits, and I said, you know what? I want to be that confident, and I'm nowhere even near that. I really want to do that. Dancing is my thing, and I think I could do that. And then, ironically, I ran into an ex-Bengal at a dance class I was taking, and I had gotten my confidence back a little bit. But she suggested, you know what, the Bengals, I'm an ex-Bengal, and they would love you. And I'm like, what? You don't even know how old I am. And she said, no, I think you should try out. And that's kind of where it started.
When she tried out, you were 38 years old, and they say no. The reason was what?
The reason was, it's so funny, they kept saying through the auditions, big hair, big hair, big hair. Well, I grew up in the 80s. So I understand what big hair is, so I went a little overboard, and I, after talking with my director years later, she said that my hair was so big that it really was a detractor, and it made my scores go down low. So she said my dancing was fine, my physique was fine, it was just I didn't quite get the glamour of what they wanted. So that was kind of good news, but I didn't know it at the time. At the time, I just thought, you know what, maybe it's they don't want me, maybe they would recognize my age. But really, I didn't even care for that. I wanted to be sure that I was challenging myself and I was getting the confidence I needed. Plus, when I found out about the organization and what they give back to the community, it made me even want it more.
When you went in, did they know you were 38?
You have to put it on your application. So I wrote down my year that I was born, which is 1968, but I kind of wanted to put 86 down.
Right.
But I had to write 38 on there, but it never came up. So I never brought it up because I didn't want it to be an issue, and I just wanted them to see me for who I was.
So once they say no, you decide you want it even more, and what was the training like then? I mean, because obviously what you didn't know was all you had to do was change your hair, apparently.
Well, I'm sure there was a couple techniques, too. That was just the discussion we had. But what happened was is I saw on the application the very next year that there was a girl who was an ex-Bengal doing classes to teach people who wanted to be Bengals. So I went to her class, and it was kind of like the inside scoop into glamour and what they want as far as look and makeup and exercise techniques and the dance techniques and all of the different skills that we need, like kicks and splits and turns, like exactly what they're looking for. So I took those classes, I took a hip-hop class, and then I added on some weight training and some cardio in addition. So I felt extremely prepared, which in turn helped my confidence.
So you and I are just about the same age, or a little bit younger by about a year. But the question I have is, why would you want to do that? I mean, even if you can, why would you want to do that?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of funny. Well, it was just really the draw of the dancing. And I kind of felt like, you know what, it's making me feel so good that even the training process, it goes on for about 2 months. It's kind of like just a fun little unique thing to do. So even though the ultimate goal was to get on the team, I just was really happy going through the process and being with the girls. And if I didn't make it again a second time, I would be really proud to sit on the sidelines and cheer them on because I would know them a little better.
Now, your full-time gig, you're a dietitian.
I am.
That's the job that pays, because cheerleading doesn't really pay.
No,
much.
We make $75 a game, and that's only if you end up on the field. There are some girls who train, and they don't end up on the field.
And so what are they, just in the back with the mascot? What are they doing?
They either help out on the sidelines, communicating which dances we're going to do, or they work up in the suites with the fans.
And you don't get paid for that?
They don't.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so $75 a game, that's not much.
Right.
So for you then, it wasn't obviously the money that you were going after. But as you say, they do a great thing as far as giving back to the community, and they are the ambassadors of the team.
Exactly, yes.
When you went back, how many times did you go back before they finally said yes?
It was just that one time I didn't make it. So when I came back that second year, they said yes.
And when they said yes, how did life change?
Oh my gosh. When I got the letter that said congratulations, I was like so teary-eyed and so excited. And then I kind of sat there for a minute and said, okay, I didn't look this far ahead. Now what do I do? Because I have my full-time job and I live about 45 minutes away from the stadium and my two teenage daughters and their schedules with cheerleading and track. So it was like, okay, now I just have to take it one day at a time. It was a lot of coordination of scheduling.
Then you go through training, and then comes game day. And what was that first professional football game like for you when you're out on the field?
Oh, my gosh. It was incredible. It was like just kind of like if you prepare for a marathon and then you finally do the marathon, or a Broadway show and you finally get to perform. When I walked out on that field and the fans were going crazy and I was in the uniform that we like strive to put our bodies in, and then all of a sudden the music starts, it was so overwhelming that I literally, when the planes were doing the flyover, I just started crying and my makeup was streaming down my face. And it was just so overwhelming because it was like such an achievement. And it felt very unreal.
Was there a point where you say to yourself, okay, I didn't know that I was the oldest cheerleader in
yes.
the NFL?
I did not know. Again, I didn't go into, people think I like went into it to be, I want to be the oldest one. It didn't even cross my mind really as far as who was older or whatever. It was my sister actually came to me and told me that, do you realize that you're the oldest one? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, yeah, I looked it up on the internet and researched it. You're the oldest one. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so crazy. So I just put it out of my mind. I just really focused in on how I fit onto the squad and the team.
Are you still doing it?
I am. We have a contract from May to May. So yes, technically, I'm still a Bengal. This will be my third completed year. But we have tryouts coming up, and they start in April, and the finals in May. So I'll be trying out again.
And something you want to keep on doing?
I do, as long as my body holds up and they continue to want me on the squad. But I understand that every year there's so much better talent coming in. And if they decide to say no, I'm totally fine with that. I love it. I want to do it again. But again, there's girls who are even better and fitter and stronger and more attractive, and that's fine. They need to, and I want other girls to have a chance to get on the team and have the confidence that you need to get on the squad. So I'm okay with it.
What do you think your role is? I mean, obviously cheerleading indicates one thing, but then there's also the stereotype. So
yeah.
In a game, in an average game, when there are the 40, 50, 60,000 people there, what do you feel your purpose to be?
You mean just as a cheerleader on the sidelines? Yeah. You know, what we do is provide entertainment when the plays are done. And they're exchanging either the defense and the offense, and it's kind of quiet, and they're playing commercials on the sound system, and the music comes on. We're basically like the commercials for the people at the stadium. And they do. They watch us. Some of them don't. They think we're a distraction. But we're like just entertainment on the sidelines, and people enjoy it.
Well, the name of the book is It's Not About the Pom-Poms, How a 40-Year-Old Mom Became the NFL's Oldest Cheerleader and Found Hope, Joy, and Inspiration Along the Way. It is published by Ballantine. Laura McManus, I thank you very much for spending time with us. It's a great pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book, It's Not About the Pom-Poms, published by Ballantine. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.